our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home. Oh God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, be thou our God while life shall last, and our eternal home. Oh God, you are our help, you are our helper to all generations. You will be forever and ever our shield and our eternal hope. Oh Lord, you are the Ancient of Days and worthy of our praise.
Sing it again. Oh God,
oh God, you are our help, you are our helper to all generations. You will be forever and ever our shield and our eternal hope. Oh Lord, you are the Ancient of Days and worthy of our praise.
Yes, you are, Lord.
You are the Ancient of Days and worthy of our praise. Oh God, you are our help, you are our helper to all generations. You will be forever and ever our shield and our eternal hope. You are the Ancient of Days and worthy of our praise. You are the Ancient of Days and worthy of our praise. You are the Ancient of Days and worthy of our praise.
Thank you. You may be seated as we continue. Lord, we pray. Give us clean hands and hearts to do your work.
We bow our hearts and bend our knees. Oh Spirit, come make us alone. We turn our eyes from evil things. Oh Lord, we cast down our idols. Give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. And God, let us be a generation that seeks your face, O God of Jacob.
Give us pure hearts. Let us not That's what we strive for, isn't it? Clean hands and a pure heart. That we have the right motives when we do things. When we talk to people, share with people, it's not just a notch on your belt, is it? It's because you want people to know Christ, to come to salvation through Him, to know that there's more to life than what there is here on this earth, that we have heaven waiting for us. And this is, for Christians, as bad as it gets. But for those who don't know Christ, this is as good as it gets. So we want people to know that Christ is there, able to rescue us from what's going on in the world today. I know we had some prayer requests. Roxanne had one in the prayer thing about a friend who has a flesh-eating disease. What? So she's home. She was in the hospital for 50 days with this flesh-eating virus, and so we're glad to hear that. I know he was over here. I just wanted to see Sam keep pointing to me every time. So,
first, I want to thank God for everything He's done for me and for my family. I also want to thank God for Pastor Bob and his family. I had some plumbing issues, and I've been so overwhelmed with other things in the past 3 months. But I just kind of let him go. And Pastor Bob, once again, I've heard so many people say this, was nice enough to help me with those issues, so thank you. And I also want to pray for law enforcement. Like Randy said, it's dangerous times. And in addition to that, pray for those people who have COVID. I know people don't talk about it much anymore. I was animal sitting for one of my friends this week, and I heard a noise in the garage, and it was her. all have COVID. So I shut the door for a minute. I said, give me a minute. Let me finish taking care of the kitties. They came home early. Just pray for those people. Some of them are very sick. And unbeknownst to them, have probably exposed a lot of people because they didn't even know that they had it. But it's still alive, and people are still getting really sick. So please pray for my friends. I have several friends who have it now. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Anybody hear about how Pat McAvoy's doing? Some of you guys visited last week, I think. Yeah.
I was over Monday taking a meal, and she said she was doing better, but you could tell she still had a rough time.
Okay. All right, so continue to pray for the McAvoys and Dee and Donna and Gary, which is Steve's brother, for Fran, Ernie, Holly, all the different requests we have. So let's pray this morning. Father, we just thank you this morning for being with us. Thanks for setting us free. We know we live in a country that's experienced freedom from a dictatorship, from a government that was oppressive. Lord, we thank you that you give us freedom from sin and from persecution and from those things that come. And even in those times that may come, that you help us to be free in our spirit. So we just thank you for that. Be it these requests we mentioned this morning, Lord, for law enforcement, for those who have COVID. We know that Pam and Dave had it, and they're over it, and thank you for that. And be with our families and our friends today, Lord, as we see the celebration for the 4th of July coming up tomorrow, but that we celebrate our freedom in Christ, and that we are dependent upon you, and that's what we'll talk about this morning. So, Lord, be with these requests. Be with those who couldn't be here, those who may be sick, may have different issues. Some are physical, financial. But spiritual is the thing we look at the most. To know where we're going to go when we pass from this earth, that we want to be knowing that we're going to head to heaven with you. So we thank you for what you've done. Open the eyes of those who don't know you, that they can see that there's salvation in Christ. And we just thank you for who you are. Thank you for the music this morning and for your word in your name. Amen.
Amen. Well, as reflected in our prayer request and certainly by what we see on the news and so forth, we live in a very troubled world. But we live in a world in which it does not dictate what God is going to do and what he can do and what he will do if his church will come together and pray. And I think, as reflected, we were... We were reading devotionally about that portion in Acts when Peter was escorted out of jail with the angel, and he went and knocked on the door of those praying from the church, and the girl runs back to him and says, "It's Peter." "Nah, no way, you know, can't be." And he keeps knocking and knocking until they finally open. Sometimes, you know, that's... way we respond when we see answered prayer. We're like, wow, God really does take care of things. But I hope that we will keep on praying and believing with confidence, knowing that God has the final word. We sang some very tender, very good songs about our country and our freedom. But I want to sing one that's about what we need right now. The world's changing every day. I don't believe it's getting brighter. Souls are lost and led astray. The road that's wide is getting wider. Where's the church and what's the plan? Can we reach a generation? If we try, I know we can. take the gospel to the nation. What we need is an
old-time revival,
one that lasts till the Spirit comes down. We've had enough of this world
trying to take away the Bible. It's time the church stood its ground.
We need to cry out to God
for forgiveness.
We need a time on our knees.
We need to turn away from sin and look to Jesus once again.
Yes, that's what we need. I could take the time to tell the whole world my story. You'd hear about the times I failed. You'd see a past full of faded glory. But then I'd take you to a place where my soul was set free. My sins forever were erased when Jesus gave me what I need.
What we need is an old-time revival, one that lasts till the Spirit comes down. We've had enough of this world trying to take away the Bible. It's time the church stood its ground.
We need to cry out to God
for forgiveness. We need to spend a lot more time on our knees. We need to turn away from sin and look to Jesus once again.
What we need is an old-time revival, one that lasts till the Spirit comes down. We've had enough of this world trying to take away the Bible. It's time the church stood its ground. It's time the church stood its ground. It's time the church stood its ground.
What we need is an old-time revival, one that lasts till the Spirit comes down. We've had enough of this world trying to take away the Bible. It's time the church stood its ground. We need to cry out to God for forgiveness. We need to spend a lot more time on our knees. We need to turn away from sin, look to Jesus once again.
Good morning, everyone. We need a revival in this country, don't we?
Amen.
Reviving everything else except God. I like to do a lot of times when I do a sermon like this, a little history about Independence Day or whatever day it may be. So I'm going to read a little history. We also call it the 4th of July. It was actually supposed to be July 2nd. You didn't know that, but they made it July 4th because that's when it actually was signed. But the vote took place on July 2nd. So began the Revolutionary War starting in 1775 to 1783, known as the American Revolution, which tensions arose between residents of Great Britain and North America, the 13 colonies. There was a skirmish between British troops and the colonial militia men in Lexington and Concord in 1775 of April. That started the armed conflict. The following summer, the rebels were waging a full-scale war for independence. And France entered the war as well on the side of the colonists, turning what had essentially been a civil war into an international conflict. After French assistance helped the colonial army, forced the British to surrender at Yorktown, Virginia in 1781. Americans effectively had won their independence, but not formally, until the end of 1783. It's been a holiday in the U.S. since 1941, and I was watching a video last night. Some of the first celebrations they had, they fired off 13 cannons, represent the 13 colonies, and they had fireworks and fired 13 cannons at the end again, which was significant that I thought was interesting. And also they said they had a mock funeral for King George to show that that government basically was dead and they had a new regime taking over. But I thought that was interesting to find out about that. But the document for independence was drafted by Thomas Jefferson. He was the one who wrote most of it. From 1776 to present, July 4th has been celebrated as the birth of independence, with fireworks, parades, concerts, family gatherings, barbecues. But independence isn't what the colonists wanted. They wanted freedom from an unfair tax system, no representation, restrictive laws, and oppression. Isn't that all of us? Don't we all want independence at some form or other? You see, a lot of time happens in teenagers and young adults. They want to be independent, right? Independent from the family, independent from all these things that you told me I had to do and whatever. But is that really what they want? They want to make decisions on their own, but they don't necessarily want to be independent. Imagine what it's like to be independent. You're doing everything by yourself, for yourself, with yourself. Not always a good state. We need others, don't we? That's why the church is a body of Christ for all of us. We all need each other, don't we? To be together, to help each other, to pray for each other, like Holly's talking about, for ear. A lot of times we keep those issues quiet, don't we? I don't want anybody to know this. It's a trivial thing or whatever it is, but nothing's trivial to God, is it? He cares about all things, all people, all circumstances, all situations. 2 Chronicles 16 shows us what happens when we leave God out and try to be independent and do things on our own. It says, in the 36th year of Asa's reign, Baasha, king of Israel, went up against Judah and fortified Ramah to prevent anyone from leaving or entering the territory. So here's the situation. They're boxed in. There's no way out. Nobody can get in. Nobody can get out. No families, no supplies. They're kind of trapped. So what does Asa do? Does he call on the Lord? Does he depend on himself, or does he want to be independent? Verse 2 says, Asa then took silver and gold out of the treasuries, the Lord's temple, and of his own palace, and sent it to Ben-Hadad, king of Aram, who was ruling Damascus. So did he call on God for help? What did he do? Took out his wallet, didn't he? Said, I can settle this. I'll just give him some money, basically. I'll try to buy my way out of the blockade. He said, let there be a treaty between me and you, as there was between my father and your father. See, I'm sending you silver and gold, and I'll break your treaty with Baasha, king of Israel, so he'll withdraw from me. So basically, he says, in layman's terms, hey, bro, let's do it like our dads. Let's just have a treaty between me and you. I'm sending you some cash to kind of sweeten the deal. So Ben-Hadad agreed with King Asa, sent the commanders of his forces against the towns of Israel. They conquered Ejon, Dan, Abel, Maim, and all the store cities of Naphtali. When Baasha heard this, he stopped building Ramah and abandoned his work. Then King Asa brought all the men of Judah, and they carried away from Ramah the stones, the timber that Baasha had been using. And with them he built up Geba and Mizpah. At this time, Hanani the seer came to Asa, the king of Judah, and said to him, so the seer, somebody who's going to prophesy, right? He's going to say, this is what God has told me. Because you relied on the king of Aram and not on the Lord your God, the army of the king of Aram has escaped from your hand. So he says, you decided to try it yourself. You wanted independence from God. You relied on yourself and not God. And now as a result, Aram's army escaped. He tells him a little bit of history now of what happened when he was dependent on the Lord. So the guy you wanted to have in captivity basically got away, is what he's saying. You could have had him if you'd gone with God, but you went with yourself. Now this guy who's your enemy has gotten away. So here's some history, he says. He said, when you were not the Cushites and Libyans a mighty army with great numbers of chariots and horsemen? Yet when you relied on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand. For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. So what's he saying? You need to be fully committed to the Lord because he's delivered you in the past. He would have delivered you this time had you stayed with him, but you didn't. You tried to do it yourself. So how many people say they want to be independent? A lot of people today, right? I want to be independent. I want to rely on anything. I can do life on my own. Anybody ever try that? Doing life on your own, being independent? What about the first time you got an apartment or a house? How'd that work out for you? Everything go smooth? Man, this is so great. I'm independent. It's like, Mom, Dad, what do I do? The washing machine won't work. The car doesn't run. I'm short on cash. I can't make my payment this month. The kids had to go to the hospital. I don't have money for that. What am I supposed to do? But yeah, we talk about independence, but the older you get, the more you see it's okay to be dependent, isn't it? Especially on the Lord. Because he knows all things. He can tell us all things. He can do all things that we can't do. But a lot of people depend upon money, don't they? I've got the money. I can do anything. Well, you can't cure your diseases with money, can you? You can't bring yourself back to life with money. You can't get to heaven because of your money. Your faith gets you there. So the poorest person on earth has just as much right or chance to get to heaven as the richest person on earth. Maybe even more so the poorest person because they're not dependent on their money. All they have a lot of times is faith in God. And they see that it's real, that it works. Maybe you're depending upon your relationship to get your independence. Yeah, this relationship's going to last forever. Most of them do. Some of them don't, though, right? Sometimes people aren't faithful. Sometimes they don't tell the truth. Sometimes they're not loyal. But we know God always is, so we can depend on him. I'm not saying don't depend on your spouse, because you shouldn't depend on your spouse, right? But God's got to be everything. He's the one who has power to do all things. When we don't recognize and relinquish our dependence on God, then we're going to see trouble. Hanani the seer told Asa that because of what he did, the king escaped. He should have depended on God. So it says in verse 10, so Asa just got a history lesson, didn't he? When you depended on God, this is what happened, but look what you did. And Asa was like, oh, cool, that's nice. No, he was upset. He says he was angry. Sometimes you get corrected or you get told something, and we're not always happy, are we? We don't always want to hear it, but we need to hear it sometimes. So he needed to hear this from Hanani told him. And it says, Asa was angry with the seer. Because of this, he was so enraged, he put him in prison. At the same time, Asa brutally oppressed some of the people. So he took his anger out on the guy who told him the truth, and then he started taking it on everybody else around him. You ever see people do that? They get mad about something. You're like, what's wrong with you? Well, I had a fight with such and such. Well, I didn't do that to you. Why are you mad at me? So Asa's in that kind of situation where he's taking his anger out on everybody else around him. It says, the events of Asa's reign from beginning to end are written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. The 39th year of his reign, Asa was afflicted with a disease in his feet. Though his disease was severe, even in his illness, he did not seek help from the Lord, but only from the physicians. Then in the 41st year of his reign, Asa died and rested with his ancestors. So, Holly, you did the right thing today, didn't you? You're asking God to help you. He said Asa was proud. He was stubborn. He had a disease in his feet, but he wouldn't ask God for help. Do we know people like that? They're in situations where you know God can help, but they refuse to ask. I can just do this myself. There was a story I was listening to this week, and he was talking about, what's the guy's name? I forgot his name now. Who's one of the duck guys? What's the last name? Phil Robertson was doing this talk, and he talked about how he calls himself a scumbag. He said, I was an alcoholic, I was a drug addict, I was all these things, I was cussing, I was swearing, I was in this bar. He said, I think it was his sister, said, brought this guy over there, preacher, to talk to me. And the first thing he said, are you a preacher? He said, yeah. He said, have you ever been drunk? He goes, yeah, one time. He goes, then why are you telling me what I'm doing is wrong? And basically, they walked out of there, and then the preacher said to the sister, he said, this guy's not ready. Anyway, the story went on, and he eventually became a Christian, and now he goes around and talks to people that have addictions and those kind of things. So he's talking to this guy, and he says, you know, you're going to die someday. The guy's like, I'm never going to die. He's like, yeah, we're all going to die someday. The guy's like, I'm not going to die. And then he just talks about the story. You know, like 3 months later, one of his friends came in and said, you know the guy you were talking to? He said, yeah. He said, he died. I got some kind of sickness or disease or whatever. But he would never admit that God was the answer for his life. We all have those chances and opportunities no matter what age we are, right? We call it the age of accountability for kids when you know right from wrong. When they're babies, they don't have any idea right from wrong. We believe when they die, they go to heaven. When you get the age of accountability, you have a choice. You can pick God or refuse God. So this guy basically was refusing God like Asa. He could have had help. He could have had salvation. He could have been in heaven when he died. But he chose to say, basically, there's no God. I'm not going to die. But it all comes to us sooner or later, doesn't it? We can't control what's going to happen to us. So Asa was severely ill, and he refused to depend on God. He chose to be independent, to resist the Lord, who could have healed him. He could have been a godly king, couldn't he? He could have represented Christ, but yet he chose not to. But you know, God wants to involve himself in every aspect of our lives, doesn't he? Our education, our health, our relationships, our finances, all those things he wants to be involved in, if we'll let him be involved in it. It's like when you go to the bank and you want to do a transaction, let's say you're selling your house, because that's a big popular thing today, right? If I'm selling my house, I'm not going to ask somebody who has no idea what they're doing about selling my house. I'm going to ask an expert. It's the same thing with us in our Christian life. We a lot of times don't really know what we're doing in this life. We're trying to just get through, make it through. Why shouldn't we ask somebody that created life and knows all about it, how we should operate, how we should live, what we should do, instead of asking everybody else who's the same situation we are? We need to go to God and say, God, what am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to live? He didn't promise just to be with us in emergencies, but he promised to be with us all the time. But a lot of times you hear people that are called foxhole Christians. Ernie's been there. He's told me the story. They're in the battle, and a shell from their own guys landed next to him. And his friend was a foxhole Christian. Basically, you know, kind of committed himself to Christ because the shell didn't go off. But did he stay with it? We don't know. We don't know if he stayed with that kind of life. But a lot of times we get in a situation where there's an emergency. We'll cry out to God for help, and then when the emergency is done, we forget he's there. But that is not what he wants us to be. He wants to be with us. He wants us to live in reality moment by moment, to depend on him totally. 1 Peter 2:16 says, live as free people, but don't use your freedom as a cover or pretext for evil, but use it and live as a bondservant of God. So we're free, but we're not free just to be evil, just to do things we shouldn't do. We're free to spread the news of how God has made us free and delivered us from things that we never would have been delivered from. You can probably all think of situations where you've been in a situation where you're like, oh, that was lucky. And you're like, nah, that wasn't luck. Where things have happened, where there may be a car coming towards you and all of a sudden that car moves. And you're like, that is physically impossible to happen. But yet it happened. I probably told you 3 or 4 times a story about when I was going to my grandmother's house around a curb in the wintertime. And my car started spinning in circles around the curb. And there was a car coming. I could see it coming. Just before it got there, my car went straight and we passed each other. That's not just coincidence. Physics doesn't work that way, right? A body in motion tends to stay in motion till acted upon by, what's the rest of it? What's the rest of it? An outside force. Okay? There was no outside force there. We were spinning around. The outside force that came in was God and stopped my car, and we didn't hit. It just happened. It wasn't like, oh, that's luck. No, that was God day-by-day situations that we can think about that he's done in our lives. You probably all have a story where you think of, yeah, God did that, because it's impossible otherwise. In Christ, we're free from the penalty of sin and free to live as he wants us to. I think we all have a tendency to be like Asa, to depend on our own resources, right? I've got enough money in the bank for this. Well, I've got a good retirement set up. Oh, I'm healthy right now. Those things can't be depended upon. It's okay to set those things up and be prepared for them, but they're not going to keep us healthy. They're not going to keep us in heaven. If we're able to resort to our checkbook, sometimes our dependency on God fails. Like, oh, I can just pay for this. But if it's a situation where you don't have the cash or the resources or even the knowledge to do it and it happens, you know God did it. You know he's the one who came in. Psalm 62 says, if riches increase, set not your heart upon them. Matthew 6:21, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So Asa found out that money is not solution, and it can't take God's place. And in these days, our money's worth less and less, isn't it? The value of the dollar just keeps going down and down and down and down. Till eventually it's going to be like some other currency in other countries where, you know, you can have 1,000 of these and it's a dollar. And it means nothing. You burn it for fire to stay warm because it doesn't mean anything. So you can't place your value in how much money you have or what you can buy. Your value comes from who God made you to be. A guy named Chuck Smith said there's at least two good reasons why we should do well to never forget our total dependence on God. First, our day-to-day acknowledgement of our most basic human needs keeps our eyes turned toward God. We need things every day, don't we? Sometimes we don't have the resources to get the things we need. We need to pray and ask God to help us get those things we need. We've done that several times we've shared, especially in missions. We didn't have things like certain clothes for the kids, you know, the pants are like this much too short, that kind of stuff. And all of a sudden somebody shows up with a bag of clothes, says, did you need these size, or are they size 10? You need size 10 pants? Like, yeah. Gave them, fit perfectly. Christmas time, you heard that story also. Didn't have money for presents. Each kid was going to get one thing. And then the church we were going to at the time showed up and said, hey, what do you need? We got a whole truck full of toys. Just pick out what you want for the kids. Somebody walking around Walmart years ago said, here, God told me to give you $100. I'm like, what? Just told me to give it to you. I'm like, okay. Just out of the blue. Never told anybody anything. Never said a word to anybody. God just did that because he's worried about our day-to-day needs. Every negative emotion such as fear and despair arise from not depending on God, don't they? We're scared, we're fearful because we don't think God can do it. We don't really trust him. We don't depend on him. Second thing he says, we can be certain that a day will come when a challenge, hardship, or ordeal will come that demands of us resources that we don't possess. A day is going to come when something's going to be asked of you and you don't have it. And you're going to say, God, I don't have it. I can't do it. I don't know. Maybe it's a question. Maybe it's a situation in a relationship with something, and you don't know how to deal with it. You don't know what the answer is, and you've got to say, God, I don't know. But I need to know this. I need to have this by a certain point. If we haven't learned God's faithfulness in normal everyday life, we're not likely to suddenly have it in a situation that tests our faith. You have it before the hard times come. So when they do come, you're ready for those situations to happen. When the Apostle Paul was talking to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, he said this, thanks be to God who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession and uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of him everywhere. For we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one, we are an aroma that brings death, and the other, the aroma that brings life. What kind of aroma do you want to be? What kind of aroma are you when you walk around people? Are they like, oh, gee, that person like stinks, get away from me? Or are they like, oh, I love that smell. I love that smell. We're not talking about a physical smell, though, are we? We're talking about a spiritual aroma. Do they see Christ in you, or do they see the world in you? Which one do they see when you come to them? So many people think independence means doing whatever you want without any limits or boundaries, not needing anyone or anything. That's not true. Even those who are free need others, don't they? Randy talked about this morning, we need the police. We need law and order. We need somebody to do that. We need firemen to rescue people, to put out fires. We need farmers to grow food. We need doctors. We need lawyers. We need teachers. We need nurses. We need moms and dads to raise their kids, don't we? Together as a family. John 8:31 says, to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Ignorance is a hard thing, isn't it? A lot of people take advantage because people don't know. When they used to do all the services in Latin, the common person couldn't understand what was being said. When you say them in the language people don't understand, they can say, what does that mean? Is that really true? So when the Bible now is in a language you can read, we can look and see things. It says test the spirits, doesn't it? To make sure they're true. So when you hear somebody preach a message, don't just take it for, oh, they know everything, because we don't know everything. Look it up for yourself. Make sure that's what it says. It's not taken out of context. You haven't used it in a different way. Freedom in Christ doesn't mean freedom from Christ, does it? You're free in Him, but you're not free from Him. Especially in the classroom. I always set up my room as a safe zone for the kids. If they were getting picked on somewhere else in the school, I said, it's not going to happen in this room. I'm not going to allow it to happen in this room. You had freedom in my room to be yourself. I couldn't control the whole school, but I can control my space that I was in. We can't control the whole world, but we can control the space that we're in, can't we? The freedom we have to share, to love people, to forgive people, to let them know, as Ernie says all the time, they're important. People need to know that they're important, don't they? Because some people don't get told that ever. Never get told they're loved, never get told they're cared for, never get a hug, right? Never get anything positive said about them. John 15, 4 through 6. Jesus says, remain in me as I remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you're in me. I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you'll bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Just think about an illustration about this. See that one grape there? That's the independent grape. Is that grape going to grow and flourish? No. It's going to rot and die off from the vine because it's pulled itself off the vine. It can't do anything. But when it's attached to the vine, it gets big and full and juicy, right? When it gets off the vine, it dies and becomes a raisin. So I guess for those of you who like raisins, that's probably okay. But I like nuts, okay? And if you're going to have grapes, you might as well have grapes that are full. So we are God's fruit, aren't we? We're the fruit of the vine. Apart from Him, we can do nothing. So we need Him to be fruitful, to be flavorful, to be the aroma of Christ. We don't need to be independent. King Asa thought he could take matters in his own hands and pay his friend to get rid of an opposing army. But that didn't work because the army escaped, basically. He got sick and he ended up dying. John 15:6, if you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that is thrown away and withers, and such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. Is this talking about what's to come for those who don't believe in Christ? It could be. I don't know. I'm not the theologian that studied the Greek on this to tell you that, but to me it seems like that's what's going to happen in the end, isn't it? If you're not with Christ, you're going to be in the fires of hell, the pit of hell. You're going to be in Hades. You're going to be in eternal damnation. But even though we're individuals free in Christ, we still need Him. To depend on Him daily, constantly, in all situations. To have a relationship that's growing. Some people believe that He's like a genie in a lamp. You just rub the lamp when you need it, and He comes out. When you don't need it, you put Him back on the shelf. Then when you need it, you rub it again, and He comes out. And then you put it back on the shelf. What kind of relationship is that going to be? How is that with you when somebody only calls you when they need something? You have people like that? Hey, I need to use your truck right now. Yeah, I'm moving, whatever. Hey, we're doing this on whatever day. And then you're like, do you even know my name? Because you never call me except when you need something. But when they call you all the time, then they need something, it's okay. But when it's just when they need something, that's not a very fun relationship to have, is it? You can't just call on Christ when you need something. He needs to be in your life all the time. Because He nourishes us, helps us grow and mature, strengthens our faith, and the ability to trust Him in all things, especially when times get hard. Can a person deal with life on their own when they're facing sickness and they're soon to leave this world? A lot of fear comes in, doesn't it? What's going to happen next? But if you accepted Christ, you have the assurance you know what's happening next. You're going to go to eternity with Him and live in a paradise. Some people wonder where their next meal is going to come from. Some people are being abused. Some people have been robbed or wronged. Some are facing surgery in the hospital and not sure what's going to happen. But you don't have to do it alone. You need to be in a state of dependence, right? Not independence. Depending on Christ is a good thing. Depending on friends is a good thing too. Find friends that will help you, that will guide you, that will pray for you, encourage you to read your Bible, ask you hard questions, right? Like, what did you think about this week? What are you doing? Did you do that again? Let me pray for you in that situation. So when we're hurting, we need God to provide healing, physical as well as spiritual. But the ultimate healing that we need to have is a spiritual healing, isn't it? This body's not going to last forever. You're not going to be here forever, but eternity is a long time. You need to determine where you're going to spend it, with Christ or without Him. And that's the choice we have, and we're free to choose that, aren't we? He's our loving Savior, holding His arms open wide to embrace us and asking us to come to Him. For Independence Day, we celebrate the freedom from British rule. We have picnics, family gatherings, parades, fireworks. We need to celebrate the freedom in Christ, the sacrifice that He gave for us, that we can have freedom in Him. Freedom from hell, freedom from damnation, freedom to choose to do the will of God. Galatians says in 5:1, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. And today we can just thank Him for that freedom, that He has set us free. It's time to declare, though, that we're free, and that we're going to depend on Him and live for Him. It's time for the church to stand up, right, Sam? Time for the church to take a stand on freedom in Christ and what's right and what's wrong. What's being taught here, what's being said there, who's elected to whatever position based on their values, not on their political name. Shouldn't matter what party you belong to, as long as you belong to the Savior, that's the important thing. You're promoting morals and values. So get back to what it means to be an American society where we're looking out for the good of the people, not for the good of the party. So let's pray. Father, we just thank You for this day. Thanks for this morning. Thanks that You've allowed this country to have freedom from tyranny. But Lord, help us to have freedom from oppression from the devil that keeps people from wanting to know who You are, that didn't know who You were. Like Phil Robertson talked about, he didn't know what it was to accept Christ until somebody shared. So Lord, help people's eyes and hearts to be open to know that Christ is the way, that He gives us strength, He gives us hope, He gives us forgiveness, and He offers us salvation and a life in heaven for eternity. In Your name, amen.
Will you stand with us, please, and let's join together as we close, and God bless America. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairie, to the ocean white with foam, God bless America, my home sweet home. God bless America, my home sweet home.